Morning.
Very warm welcome. If you're present with us in the room or listening online, we trust that God will bless you and enable you. So we've been looking at, for such a time as this, we've been looking at over the weeks and maybe months, the armour of God he gives us to strengthen us for battle. And there's many of us that know that we're in a battle, aren't we? But our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. So we know this and we understand this, and sometimes, if you're like me, the unexpected comes and it can overpower us if we're not careful. It can overtake us. What I mean by that is it can throw a spanner in the works. And as we listen to what God says, as we read his word, as we are encouraged, as we're challenged to change, we start to see things in a different way. And I hope that you'll grab hold of my heart and see what it is I've been trying to say through these series of messages about bringing men and women from Scripture to say, for such a time as this, God chose such an individual as that. Because if you're like me, there are times that you see with your eyes. Now, what I mean by that is you don't see the inside, you just see the outside. And we know what Scripture says. God looks at the heart. And God knows us, doesn't he? He knows the plans and purposes he has for us. He's prepared in advance the good works. So he knows what he's doing, doesn't he? But there are times that we see people and we make a judgment. I've been at many a funeral where the minister has said, this person is heaven bound, but they lived a hell on earth. This person is bound for hell, but in their heart they received heaven. We don't know, do we? But we can make a judgment, can't we? We can see someone and go, they would. How many times have you been in the presence of people and they've been so kind and overwhelming that you think to yourself, they'd make a good Christian? And then you've been in the presence of the opposite. Oh my goodness, I hope they don't come to church. Well, I want to just read a story and bring some oversight just to still our hearts, just to say, okay, God, I get it. You're in control. And this is a familiar passage. It's Zacchaeus. And I did write down what Zacchaeus meant, and now I've forgotten. But I know it encapsulates the righteous one. Now, here's Zacchaeus. Let me read the story. Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. Now, he wasn't just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. Now, though tax collectors, they were normally in this region, they would have been Jewish citizens working for the Roman Empire. So the reason they were despised is because they collected taxes not just to fulfill what they was told to collect by the Roman Empire, but they also collected a bit more for themselves. They had free rule and free reign, so they could say ten denarius for them and 2 denarius for me. 2 denarius for them and 10 for me. They were cheats and they were despised. So that gives us an idea, not like the modern tax collectors. We all love them, don't we? Let's not say anything. We love the tax collector, but we don't love the taxes. That's a better way of putting it. He was a chief tax collector, and he was very wealthy, Scripture tells us. No wonder he was despised, because they knew how he had earned that wealth. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who he was, but because he was short, he was of short stature, in other words, he wasn't tall enough to see above the crowd, he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, he went in front and he got a point of advantage so that he could see Jesus. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today. Come down, Zacchaeus, I must eat with you. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Now, just put it in perspective. Here's this Jesus, the Messiah, that he had that reputation of praying for the blind and eyes opening, praying for the deaf and ears being unstopped, praying for the dead and seeing them raised, praying over fish and loaves and seeing the multiplication. He was perceived as a man of righteousness. He was a teacher of the law and he was a teacher of grace. He brought a message of salvation, a message of restoration. And here this man is calling upon Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector. He went to be a guest in his house. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, after he had ate with him, spent time with him. It wasn't just an immediate thing. There was a process that had gone on here. Now remember, when we're on the outside looking in, we can see the sinner and the tax collector, the one that's despised. And then when we see him going into the house of the righteous one, we too could be, what's going on, Lord? It seems to be that the unrighteous are being blessed. Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone," that actually doesn't say if, it says because I have cheated many. "Because I have cheated many. Out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Not just one, not just two, but goes right back to the Levitical law, goes right back to the Old Testament. "I will pay back four times." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." In Joshua 1:19, this is a portion of scripture that doesn't fit with this theme that I'm bringing, but I wanted to bring it to us as a church. I wanted to just say these things because when we look through scripture, we can put ourselves in the place of God's army, put ourselves in the place of God's chosen ones. Why? Because he's chosen you and he's chosen me. So when he speaks to Moses, he speaks to us. When he speaks to Joshua, he speaks to us. When he speaks to Stephen, he speaks to us. When he speaks to Matthew, he speaks to us. So I just want us as a church just to hear what God is saying to us for such a time as this, so that when we put into practice some of the things and the challenges that God gives us, we'll have an understanding of who we are and what God thinks of us. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, "Moses, my servant, is dead, but the word is not. People may die, but that legacy lives on. Those that have been ministering in God's kingdom, they may leave this life, but they have an eternal resting place, don't they? That's the message we preach. But the message lives on, and it lives on through us, and it lives on through the Holy Spirit. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River. Get ready to go into the promises, in other words. I am about to give it to them, to the Israelites. I will give you, my people, every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river of Euphrates to the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's a message for such a time as this. As I was with them, I will be with you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit a land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Remember, all the promises are yes, and the amen is spoken by us. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, from the right or the left, that you may be successful. Wherever you go, keep this book of the law. Keep this word in your heart, in other words, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. We're not circumcised by the flesh, we're circumcised of the heart. We're of the new covenant. But this still relates to us. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong It's not a suggestion that God has for us as people. It's a command. Be strong and do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. If you're discouraged, then God's going to rebuke you. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There's a word of encouragement right there, isn't there? So when we're confronted by the Zacchaeuses of this world, while we're confronted by the people that we think don't deserve God's favour and grace, God then starts to speak to our heart and he says, son, daughter, be of good cheer, be courageous, be bold, be strong, because I've given you a promise. You just need to keep your eyes fixed on me and I will do the rest. While Jesus in Matthew 9, while Jesus was having dinner with at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees, the men of the law, when they saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? They ask a question. What's he doing? Does he not know? They would say the same thing when it came to women of ill repute. Does he not know who they are? Yes, he does. Does he not know you? Yes, he does. Does he not know me? Yes, he does. On hearing this, this is what Jesus said. It is not the healthy that needs a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. So there's a challenge for us. Let's go and learn what God is saying to us through this. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Remember what Jesus says? He came to seek and save the lost. He is coming back to judge, but at the moment he's coming to seek and to save. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. See, God called me because I'm a sinner, and I've been saved through grace. The same for you. So as we look with our eyes, let's ask God as we go forward to help us to see with our hearts, to see with his eyes, so that we can truly be who he wants us to be. In Exodus 22, whoever steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it as an act of violence, they must pay back five times. If they steal a sheep and they slaughter that, they must give back four times. So Zacchaeus understood this. When he met with Jesus, he didn't just get up in the tree and think, today's a good day, I'm going to be generous. Something happened in his life. And he wanted to be a man who would give restitution for the ills that he had done. He wanted to do something tangible. And that's the same for me and you. We need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. I'll explain why I popped that portion of scripture in as we go through this story. In Ephesians 2 verse 8, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And that's the message that we, the church, and anyone who's listening need to understand, that it's not something that we've earned, it's not something that we've paid for, it's something that we've received. It's by grace you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves, but it's a gift of God. God offered it to us and we took it, not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, Zacchaeus couldn't earn his way. He was a very wealthy man, wasn't he? He could have bought whatever he wanted to bought, but he couldn't pay off Jesus. You see, we can't buy ourselves into heaven, can we? Now, I said at the beginning of church that I'd like us to pray about giving into God's kingdom so that we can take this word and we can spread it out, a special offering. But the amount you give won't make you any more righteous. It just means that you'll be obedient to what God says. And Zacchaeus, being that wealthy man, he couldn't have bought himself into heaven. And that's the stumbling block at times. There are many people that are wealthy and they want to give. And if they give, they want to get to heaven by works. But we can't do that through indulgences. There's no such thing as purgatory. It's heaven or it's hell. Heaven is where God is and hell is.